الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة ياسين مكية بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ياسين والقرآن الحكيم إنك لمن المرسلين على صراط مستقيم تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Indeed, this is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon each one of us that He has granted us this tawfiq and ability to participate in the gathering wherein the verses of the Qur'an will be explained. Insha'Allah, in this session which will take place every Saturday after Dhuhr Salat, as long as this circumstance of pandemic remains, I have decided to mention few things with regards to Surah Yasin. Of course, as a student of Deen, I cannot claim that I will do justice to the tafsir of Surah Yasin, because tafsir can be done by the ulama who are well grounded in terms of the knowledge of Quran, the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fiqh, nahw, sarf. Jalaluddin As-Suyuti rahimahullahu ta'ala says that the person who does tafsir, it is necessary for him to be well versed in 15 sciences. Then he can do tafsir of the Quran. And I'm only a student of deen. Inshallah, I will try my best according to my ability to explain the simple meanings of this chapter, this surah, Surah Yasin, with the sole purpose and intention of bringing the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Quran into my life. And inshallah, through these verses, you also bring the teachings of the word of Allah and the book of Allah, the glorious Quran, into your life. The surah which we will be discussing is Surah Yasin. Some people have mentioned seven names of Surah Yasin, but this is not correct. According to the bulk of Mufassireen, in the light of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, only five names of this chapter is established. This is why you will find the name of this surah being Suratul Qalb, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam calls this surah Yasin Qalbul Quran. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has not named this surah to be Qalbul Quran. Similarly, some Eastern Masahif have the name of this chapter being Suratul Habib al-Najjar, because there is an individual whose story is mentioned in this chapter, Surah Yasin. His name is Habib al-Najjar. This is why some people have mentioned that this is also one of the names of Surah Yasin. But like I mentioned, that according to the bulk of Mufassireen, in the light of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are five names of Surah Yasin. This surah is considered Makki surah. This is why if you open the Mus'haf in front of you, it says Surah Yasin Makkiyah. This surah was revealed in the Meccan period. Whenever in Quran, when it is mentioned next to a chapter that this chapter, this surah is Makki, or this chapter is Madani, what does it mean? It does not mean that the entire chapter and surah was revealed in the city of Mecca. And if this chapter is Madani, that does not mean that every single verse of that chapter was revealed in Madinatul Munawwara. When it says Makkiyah, that this surah, this chapter is Makki, then that means that the verse of the Quran that was revealed in the Meccan period, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam received prophethood, he was 40 years old. After that, he stayed in Makkah Mukarramah for another 13 years. So in that Meccan period, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to receive revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in that period, in that era, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whatever he received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is considered to be Makki. Whether that revelation came down in the city of Makkah or it came somewhere outside the city of Makkah. So for example, in the Meccan period of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he also went to Taif. So when he went to Taif, if a verse was to be revealed in Taif, this verse would also be considered Makki. Why? Because this verse of the Quran was revealed in the city of Makkah. No. The reason why this verse will be Makki is because the verse was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Meccan period. In the Meccan period. Surah Yasin Makkiyah. And if a verse of the Quran, a chapter, is considered to be Madani, what that means is that after migration of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam from Makkah to Medina, he stayed in Medina for 10 years. In those 10 years, whatever verses of the Quran were revealed to him, these verses are called Madaniyah. Now, when a chapter is called Makki or Madani, that does not mean that every single verse in that chapter will be Makki. And if the chapter is called Madaniyah, that does not mean that every single verse in that chapter is what was revealed in the period when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was residing in Madinatul Munawwara. When the chapter is attributed towards Makkah or the Meccan period, what that means is that the majority of the verses of the Quran that exist in this chapter were revealed in the Meccan period. And if the chapter is considered to be Madaniyah, what that means is that majority of the verses came down to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the Madani period. So this surah, Surah Yasin, is called Surah Yasin, and it is a Makki surah. It is a Makki surah. And the Mufassirin mentions that this surah was revealed in the middle Meccan period, after Suratul Jinn and before Suratul Furqan. After Suratul Jinn and before Suratul Furqan. The entire chapter is Makki. Ibn Atiyah has mentioned that there is a consensus of ulama that this surah is Makki surah. However, some Mufassirin, they say that one verse of the Qur'an or two verses of the Qur'an are Madani. وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا آثَارَهُمْ. This is a Madani verse of the Qur'an, a verse of this chapter, Surah Yasin. And also, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ قَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. This verse of the Qur'an is also Madani. And they say that the first ayat that I mentioned, وَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَدَّمُوا وَآثَارَهُمْ, this verse of the Qur'an was revealed with regards to Bani Salama. There was a tribe in Madinatul Munawwara who used to live far away from Masjidul Nabwi, and they wanted to move close to the Masjidul Nabwi. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to them that, دِيَارُكُمْ يَا بَنِي سَلَمَا, O Banu Salama, live wherever you are living at this moment in time, and whenever there is salah time, come from your house to Masjidul Nabi. It was quite far, close to Quba, and in those days it would take a very long time for them to come. They saw a convenience that there is a vacant place close to Masjidul Nabi, so we should move there and close to the masjid so we can perform salah with jama'at. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them to stay in their houses, or he told them not to move from the place they were residing in. So this verse was revealed in Madinatul Munawwara. But some ulama, they say that this verse was revealed in Makkah Mukarrama, but Nabi alayhi salatu was salam issued a verdict according to this verse of the Quran in the Madani period. Whereas in reality, this verse was revealed in the Meccan period. And the second verse of the Quran, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَكُمْ أَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا رَزَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ, was revealed with regards to the munafiqun. And there were no munafiqin in the Meccan period. They only existed in the period when Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam was in Madinatul Munawwara. So this one verse was revealed in Madinah Munawwara, and according to some mufassirin, these two verses. Apart from these two verses in this chapter, the entire chapter is Makkiyah. There are 83 verses, 5 rukus, 729 words, and 3000 letters in this chapter of Surah Yasin. If you study any Makkan surah, any Makkan chapter, that chapter will have four major subjects or four major topics or four themes, you can say. One is Tawheed, one is Risalat, one is Ma'ad, one is Qisasul Anbiya. These are four themes. Tawheed is to prove the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to encourage people not to ascribe partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Tawheed will encourage people to adopt monotheism, and it will discourage people from adopting shirk and disbelief. Risalat is to prove the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number three, Ma'ad, meaning Akhirat. These Makkan surah, they will have this theme as well, that something of the Akhirah will be mentioned, whether it is to do with Jannah or Jahannam. Sometimes the reward of Jannah is mentioned, or the bounties which the believers will receive in Jannah are mentioned in that chapter, or something with regards to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned. So, Ma'ad. And number four, Qisasul Anbiya. The stories of the previous prophets or the stories of the previous nations. So these are the four fundamental subjects, topics and themes mentioned in any Makkan surah. Similarly, in this chapter, Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned these four subjects and these four topics. This surah is the 36th chapter according to the tartib and the sequence of the mushab that exist in this day and age. So according to the tartib and sequence of the chapters that exist today in our masahif, in our Quran, this is the 36th surah. And according to the revelation that came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is the 41st chapter. Because you have to remember that this Quran is a book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it came out from Allah. Like how Qari Muhammad Tayyib sahab rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned in one of his books, and he has mentioned this hadith, that tabarrak bil Quran fa innahu kharaja minhu, that take barakah from this book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this book has come out from himself. Tabarrak bil Quran fa innahu kharaja minhu, because this Quran has come out from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it came out of Allah. Allah recited this Quran. This is why Quran is called kalamullah. Then this was transformed and transmitted to an angel. Some mufassirin, they say that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, some say that there were more angels. And then this Quran was taken to Lawhul Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. And then from preserved tablet to the first heaven. And from there, in the span of 23 years, slowly, the entire Quran was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in terms of the tartib and the sequence of revelation, this is the 41st chapter. But when it comes to the tartib of the mushaf that we have in front of us today, it is the 36th chapter. The reason why I mention this is because there is an academic discussion here whether the tartib of the chapters of the Quran is tawqifi or not. What does tawqifi mean? When something is tawqifi, that means that this has been proven from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam directly, and it is a matter of tawqif, meaning this was established through a divine revelation or with a sound chain of narration that goes directly to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and it does not have any room for ijtihad of any companion radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. This is what it means by tawqifi. So now this tartib and the sequence of surah that we have, the first is Surah Al-Fatiha, then Surah Al-Baqarah, then Surah Ali Imran, then Surah Al-Nisa, then Surah Al-Ma'idah. This sequence, this tartib, was this given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or was this established later on in the era of the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum? This is the question. Some scholars, they say that this is not a matter of tawqif, meaning later on in the time of companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they decided to put these chapters in this tartib according to their ijtihad and their understanding. But a very big group of scholars, and from among these scholars, there are some who are very, very high in terms of their knowledge, the likes of Qadi Abu Bakr al-Ambari, rahimahullahu ta'ala, Allama Tibi, rahmatullahi alayhi, also Imam al-Zarakshi, and Allama Kirmani, rahimahumullahu ta'ala. These kind of scholars, they say that the tartib of these chapters are tawqifi, meaning they came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, Allama Tibi, rahmatullahi alayhi, says that the tartib we have in our mushaf is exactly like the tartib that existed in Lawhul Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. And they say that this is actually a miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that this tartib of chapters is tawqifi. How? Because this is a sign that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a true prophet, and this book is a book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because you have to remember, like I mentioned, the Quran was revealed in the span of 23 years. Sometimes one verse would be revealed, sometimes two, sometimes few verses, sometimes the entire chapter. Whenever something was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would call a sahabi and he would say to that companion radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that this verse was revealed to me, can you write it down? There were a few companions who were appointed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to write down revelation. They are known as Kuttabul Wahy. The one companion is called Katibul Wahy. And on the side note, there is a group of people today who very strongly criticizes Amir Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And they say that na'udhu billah, this companion is not a Muslim, he is a disbeliever, he is destined to go and burn in the fire of hell. This is not correct, because Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was also from amongst this group of companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum who were appointed by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam to write down revelation. He was also a katibul wahi. He used to write revelation. So these companions, they wrote down revelation in different times, and they had these verses in different things. And later on, if this was established through tawqif, meaning from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is so perfectly planned or set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that if you go through these chapters, there is such a good connection between two chapters. Meaning the connection between Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Baqarah, the connection between Surah Al-Baqarah and Surah Ali Imran, the connection between Surah Ali Imran and Surah Al-Nisa. And the ulama have dedicated their lives just to mention these kind of connections between two chapters. And some ulama have done phenomenal work. The likes of Hakim al-Ummah, Marana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi, his tafsir Bayanul Quran is well known for this. That Hakim al-Ummah Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned an amazing connection between the chapters and also between the verses of the Quran. So this is a science which is looked up by many scholars. in a very high esteem. So this group of scholars, they say that every single surah in the Mus'haf is tawqifi. The tarteeb of the chapter is tawqifi. But the muhaqqiqeen and the more preferred view of the scholars is the majority of the chapters in the Quran are tawqifi. But some were placed by the ijtihad of the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. So I was mentioning that this surah is called Surah Yasin. Why is this surah called Surah Yasin? This chapter is called Surah Yasin because of the first two letters in the beginning of the surah, Yasin. This is why this surah is called Surah Yasin. But there are other names mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One name is Surah Yasin. Another name for this chapter is Surah Azima. Suratu Azima. It comes in the hadith that Inna fil Qur'ani la suratan. Inna fil Qur'ani la suratan. In the Quran there is one chapter, Tud'a laha Azima. That chapter is called Azima. Ala wa hiya Suratu Yasin. And that surah is Surah Yasin. So one name is Azima. Azima means great surah. Why is this called a great surah? Imam Ghazali rahimahullahu ta'ala has mentioned that this surah is considered to be the Qalbul Qur'an. Qalbul Qur'an. The scholars mentioned that because this Qur'an, this chapter is Qalbul Qur'an, this is why the name of this chapter is Suratu Azimah. Suratu Azimah. Now Imam Ghazali mentioned that why is this chapter and this surah, Suratu Yasin, called Qalbul Quran, the heart of Quran, because he says that in this chapter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned something about the day of judgment and how people will be reckoned in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at it from the theological perspective, then iman has one portion which is related to Akhirah, which is related to Qiyamah, which is related to Ba'ath Ba'ad al-Mawt, meaning the fact that we will be resurrected in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after we pass away. So this is part of Iman. And also, when the mention of Qiyamah is done in front of humans, in front of the believers, then this will prompt them to carry out those deeds which will bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will enable them to carry out good deeds and take them away from those actions which will bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be able to suppress their carnal desires due to the mention, due to ahwal and the conditions mentioned to him of the Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment. So, in terms of Aqidah and also Amal, both are connected with the theme that is mentioned in this chapter, Suratu Yasin. So he says that just as the health of one's body depends on one's heart, similarly, the health of one's Iman is dependent upon Suratu Yasin. Upon Suratu Yasin. This is why the surah is called Qalbul Quran. And this is why, according to some narrations, this chapter is also called Suratu Azimah. Another name of this chapter is Suratu Mu'immah. Suratu Mu'immah. Mu'immah, something which generalizes, something which spreads something. So this chapter is called Mu'immah. The companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they asked Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Prophet of Allah, why is Surah Yasin called Suratu Mu'immah? What is it that is making this surah Suratul Mu'immah? Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam said to the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum that the person who recites this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bestow a lot of khair and barakat of this dunya and also the khair and barakat of the hereafter for the reciter of this surah. This is why this chapter is also called Suratu Mu'immah. Fourth name of this chapter is Suratu Mudafi'ah. Mudafi'ah, something which repels, something which pushes away. Why is this chapter called Suratu Mudafi'ah? Because when a person goes through any difficulty in his life, any calamity, and he recites Surah Yasin, the barakah of the recitation of Surah Yasin will repel that calamity and difficulty that a person is going through in his life. The fifth name of the surah is Suratu Qadiyah. Qadiyah, something which fulfills somebody else's need. Qadiyah. This chapter is called Suratu Yasin is because it fulfills the need of the people who recite this chapter. These are five names which are proven through the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Now another question here is that where did these names of surah come from? Where did these names of surah come from? One group of mufassirin, they say that the names of these chapters were tawqifi, came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and some names were established as a result of the ijtihad of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. But the majority of the scholars say that the names of all these surahs of the Quran are proven to be from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and a matter of tawqif, meaning they are proven through a divine revelation or a sound text of a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is not proven through any ijtihad of a companion radiallahu ta'ala anhum. And a big group of scholars are of this opinion, the likes of Jarir al-Tabari, Imam Zarakshi, Imam al-Suyuti, and Ibn Ashur, rahimahumullahu ta'ala. Also some scholars of hadith, the likes of Abdul Rahman ibn Yazid and Nawas bin Sam'an, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, also holds this opinion. So we learn that even the names of these surahs they came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes some chapters, they were given names by the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum as well. This is why in different musahif, you will find sometimes one chapter has different names. In one chapter, you have Suratu Bani Israel. In some chapters, you see Suratu Isra, same chapter. Sometimes in one mushaf, it says Suratu Dahr. And in another mushaf, it says Suratu Al-Insan. So there are many surahs like that. Suratu li'ilafi Quraysh and Suratul Quraysh and so on and so forth. This is because some chapters, the names of some chapters were established through the ijtihad of the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. There are many, many virtues mentioned with regards to Suratu Yasin. The main virtue that we hear since our childhood is that Suratu Yasin is the heart of the Quran. Maqil ibn Yasar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates the Yasin qalbul Quran. Yasin is the heart of Quran. And Abu Dhar Ghifari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that ma min mayyitin yuqra'u alayhi Yasin illa hawwanallahu alayhi, that there is no person who is about to pass away and Suratu Yasin is recited in front of him, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his death easy for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make his death easy for him. Similarly, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal and Imam Abu Dawood al-Sijistani, rahimahumullahu ta'ala, they both have narrated a hadith in their books, اِقْرَأُوا يَاسِينَ عَلَى مَوْتَاكُمْ, that recite Surah Yasin in front of those people from your community who are about to pass away. This is why the scholars say that if a person is in his last stage and he is about to leave this world, at that time, those people who are in the state of taharat should stay around him, and preferably pious people should be around him, his family members should be around him. But those people who are in the state of impurity, those people who are in the state of janabat, those women who are in the state of hayd and nifas, they should leave that room, because wherever there is najasat, the angels of mercy don't come to that place. So this is why pious individuals, people who are in the state of taharat, should stay around the person. They should do talqeen of shahadatain and encourage the passing person to recite the kalima, not to command the person to recite, because it's so possible that because of the pangs of death, he rejects. to recite the kalima, and if he leaves this world in that state, then there is a fear that he left this world in the state of kufr. This is why you should recite Surah Yasin as well, like how it's mentioned in the riwayah of Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that his death is made easy for him. So you can recite Surah Yasin, and in according to some narrations, one can also recite Surah Ar-Ra'd. Because it comes in the hadith that whoever recites Surah Ar-Ra'd in front of a dying person, then it eases the pangs of death for the person who is leaving the world. Imam Darumi, rahimahullah ta'ala, another great muhaddith, have quoted a hadith on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, man qara'a yasin fi laylatin ibtigha'a wajhillah, ghafara Allahu lahu fi tilka al-laylah. That person who recites Surah Yasin at night solely to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will pardon all his sins that night. Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala anhu, an eminent companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the son of Zubair ibn al-Awwam. Zubair ibn al-Awwam is from amongst the al-Asharatul Mubashara, those 10 companions who were given glad tidings by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one gathering. And Zubair ibn al-Awwam was the cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was the son-in-law of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Because Zubair ibn al-Awwam was married to the eldest daughter of Abu Bakr, Hazrat Asma bint Abu Bakr. His son was Abdullah ibn Zubair. He says that the person who is going through any difficulty in his life, or he is in need of something, and he places Surah Yasin in front of his difficulty or the need that he has in his life, then this Surah Yasin will fulfill the person's need and will repel the difficulty that he is facing in his life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith, he says, إِنَّ فِي الْقُرْآنِ لَسُورَةً تُشْفَعُ لِقَارِئِهَا وَتُغْفَرُ لِمُسْتَمِعِهَا أَلَا وَهِيَ سُورَةُ يَاسِينَ. There is one chapter, one surah in the Quran that will intercede on behalf of its reciter, and this surah will be a means of forgiving the sins of that individual who listens to it. And that chapter is Surah Yasin. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala, a great mufassir of the Quran, has mentioned a hadith in his tafsir on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that whoever enters qabrastan, a graveyard, man dakhala al-maqbara, the person who enters qabrastan and he recites Surah Yasin, the barakah of reciting Surah Yasin from this person will be such that through the barakah of Surah Yasin, the dwellers of the grave in that entire graveyard, their punishment will be decreased and made lighter by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that entire day. For that entire day. And not only their punishment will be reduced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perhaps the person who is reciting this Surah Yasin, he will receive thawab and reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in proportion to the deceased and the people who are sleeping in the graves in that cemetery. The amount of people who are lying in their graves in that cemetery, that's how much reward the person who recites Surah Yasin in the maqbara would receive. Man qara'a yasin fi sadr an-nahar qudiyat hawaijuh. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions another hadith. That person who recites Surah Yasin in the beginning portion of the day, qudiyat hawaijuh, all his needs are fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even though this hadith is not muttasil, until Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a tabi'i is narrating from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and obviously a tabi'i is that person who has not met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so he must have heard this hadith from a companion radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, but he does not mention the name of that companion. So this hadith is called Mursal. Imam Ata ibn Abi Rabah rahimahullah ta'ala, great tabi'i, he narrates this hadith, and it is mentioned in the book of Imam Darumi rahimahullahu ta'ala. You have to remember that in terms of mursal riwayah, the usul and the principle of hadith is that if the person who is missing in the chain is a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it does not make any difference to the ruling of the hadith. It does not make the hadith so da'if. Maybe the slight da'af and weakness will come in that, and that is bearable by the muhaddithin. So inshallah, this hadith we can practice each day. After Fajr Salah, we should make a point that I will not leave my musalla until I recite Surah Yasin. Man qara'a Yasin fi sadrin naha qudiyat hawa'ijuhu. Allama Mundiri rahimahullahu ta'ala has authored an amazing book, At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib. In this book of his, he has narrated a hadith under authority of Abu Umama Bahili radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, that man qara'a Surah Yasin laylatal jumu'ah أصبح مغفورا له. That person who recites Surah Yasin on the night of Jumu'ah, then that person will wake up in the morning in the state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pardoned all his sins. Abu Ja'far rahimahullahu ta'ala says that if a person feels hardness in his heart, then he should write Surah Yasin with za'afran, with saffron, on a tray, and he should pour water in that tray and drink that water. Inshallah, through the barakah of Yasin Sharif, the hardness of the heart will perish and it will go away. These are few virtues mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Through this, we can understand how virtuous this surah is, Surah Yasin. One another great alim, a scholar by the name of Yahya ibn Kathir rahimahullahu ta'ala, he used to say that the person who recites Surah Yasin in the morning, that person will experience happiness, ease, tranquility and peace until evening. And the person who recites Surah Yasin in the evening and night until morning, he will experience the same kind of happiness, ease, tranquility and peace. And Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that inna likulli shay'in qalban wa qalbul Qur'an yasin, that everything has a heart and Qur'an also has a heart, and the heart of Qur'an is yasin. Wa man qara'a yasin kataba Allahu lahu bi qira'atiha qira'atul Qur'an 10 marrat. That person who recites Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will write down thawab equivalent to reciting 10 Qur'ans. Reciting 10 Qur'ans. My brothers, now a question comes that a person is reciting 10 entire Qur'ans and another person is reciting only Surah Yasin. How come they are both same? In terms of reward, they are both same. But in terms of gaining the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in terms of increasing one's spirituality, the person who has recited 10 entire Qur'an will be ahead of the person who has only sufficed upon reading Surah Yasin. So in terms of thawab, they will be same. But thawab is not everything. The real thing is the connection of Allah, the closeness of Allah, and the recognition of Allah, and the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the spirituality that one gains from that good deed. So in another hadith, of Hazrat Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says inna likulli shay'in qalban wa qalbul Qur'an yasin wa man qara'a yasin. And he says that everything has a heart, and the heart of the Qur'an is Surah Yasin. Wadidtu annaha fi qalbi kulli insanin min ummati. I wish, I desire that this Surah Yasin is in the heart of every believer of my ummah. My brothers, if you look at the ihsanat and the favors of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are so much, they are innumerable. Let me give you just few examples. When the verse of the Quran was revealed, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى, it comes in the hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said after listening to this, that Allah says, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Very soon your Lord, your Creator will make you happy. Allah will bestow upon you those blessings which will make you happy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon receiving this revelation, he said, إِذَنْ لَا أَرْضَى وَوَاحِدٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِي فِي النَّارِ, that I will not become happy until even one of my ummati is still in the fire of Jahannam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this, Ali karramallahu wajhahu says in another riwayah that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted my intercession on behalf of my ummah, on behalf of my ummah, until that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked me, that Allah will ask me that Radita ya Muhammad, that O Muhammad, did you become happy or not? And I will say, Ya Rabbi, Raditu, O my Lord, I have become happy. This is the connection, the love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam had for me and you. It comes in another narration that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam made this dua, فَمَن تَبِعَنِي فَإِنَّهُ مِنِّي وَمَن عَصَانِي فَإِنَّكَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ, whoever follows me, they're amongst my group, and the people who disobey me, then you are Ghafurur Rahim. And another verse that is mentioned in the Quran with regards to Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, in tu'adhibhum fa'innahum ibaduk wa in taghfir lahum fa'innaka Ghafurur Rahim, that if you punish them, then they are your ibad, they are your servants, and if you forgive them, then you are Ghafurur Rahim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, after reciting these two verses of the Quran, he raised his hands and he started supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he started crying so pure, so much that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to send Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, that go Jibreel and ask Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that why is he crying? It's not that I don't know the reason. I know the reason, but I want you to go and ask Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam goes, he comes to the world and he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he asks him, Ma yubkika ya Rasulullah, what is making you cry? Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Allahumma ummati ummati, Allahumma ummati ummati, I fear my ummah that they will be thrown in the fire of Jahannam. I will not become happy until my ummah is granted forgiveness by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Jibreel goes to Allah, Allah says to Jibreel that go to Muhammad and tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, I have accepted his dua and his ummah will be forgiven. And there is a hadith in Mishkat, one companion, Hazrat Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala, who said that once we were traveling from Medina to Makkah Mukarrama, on our way, when we reached a place, Azwara, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam got off his conveyance and he started making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all of a sudden he went into sajda and he started crying and crying. He made a long, long sajda. Then he got up from his sajda, and after a little while he still had some sort of grief on his face. He goes back into sajda and then he lifts his head up second time. Then there are still the traces of sadness on his face. He raises his hands, he goes into sajda the third time, and then he lifts up his head, and the fourth time he goes into sajda. But before going into sajda the fourth time, he had a smile on his face and he was happy. Hazrat Ka'b radiallahu ta'ala, who used to say that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to be happy, we would know, because when he is happy, and it felt as if the pomegranate was squeezed on the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Istanara wajhuhu, and he used to say that his face used to glow like the 14th night moon glows. So he says that we knew that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was happy after he completed his actions. We asked him, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the first three times we saw you, you were uneasy, you were upset, and the fourth time before you went into sajda, you were happy. What happened? He says that I was making dua for my ummah that, O Allah, forgive them. And when I went into sajda, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to me, gave me this glad tiding that one third of my ummah will be forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I lift up my head, I was still upset that how come two third of my ummah will not be forgiven. I go back into sajda, Jibreel comes and he gives me this glad tiding that now two third of your ummah is forgiven. The third time I go in the sajda, Jibreel comes and gives me glad tiding that your entire ummah is forgiven. This is how much love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had for us, me and you. And when he was passing away, Jibreel came and asked permission. Allah said, go knock on the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him, do you want to come or you still want to live? He is the only person who was actually asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether to live or to die. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam knocks the door, he comes in, he asks Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that do you want to live or do you want to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He says that go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Allah what will happen to my ummah after I pass away. What will happen to my ummah after I pass away? My brothers, when we pass away, we have concern for our progeny, we have concern for our children, we have concern for our wealth, our houses, our properties. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is passing away. He had children as well. He had wives as well. But he did not have concern for his family members. Perhaps he was already shown that his grandsons, Hazrat Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, will be martyred. Once he was in a place, he got hold of Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he embraced Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he started crying when Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu goes in and he sees this. He asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that yes, I was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this grandson of mine, Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu, will go through such difficulty in his life that he will be martyred, and a lot of family members from my family will be martyred on that day. But my brothers, when the time of his death came, he did not worry about any of his family members. He worried about me and you. What will happen to my ummah after I will pass away? This was the love Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had for us. And this is the desire Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had, that every mu'min has Surah Yasin in his heart. Every believer has Surah Yasin. Let us fulfill the wish of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a believer, we should try our utmost to fulfill the desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we should start learning Surah Yasin. Contact those ulama and huffaz and learn from them the way to memorize the Quran and start memorizing Surah Yasin and perform Surah Yasin. Imagine if you know Surah Yasin, then you will have a lot of chances to recite Surah Yasin. You don't need a mushaf, you don't need a Quran in front of you. You can recite Surah Yasin once, twice, thrice, 10 times a day, and imagine how much thawab you will gain for reciting this Surah Yasin. So we should all make a firm resolution and firm intention today that inshallah I will start to memorize Surah Yasin. I will recite Surah Yasin every single day after Fajr Salah. First, for a few months, start reciting Surah Yasin after Fajr Salah. Don't leave your musalla until you recite Surah Yasin. Every day for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, you recite Surah Yasin. The portion of Surah Yasin you will memorize just by reciting this chapter, and then start memorizing Surah Yasin, and slowly, slowly, inshallah, you will memorize the entire chapter. And it's not hard to memorize a Quran, believe me. I have seen people who are 70 and 80 years old and they have memorized Quran, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made memorization of Quran easy for the believer. So let us try to fulfill this wish and desire of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Recite Surah Yasin every day after Fajr Salah or at night, and start memorizing Surah Yasin. And it is so beneficial, especially for those who go to perform Fajr Salah to the masjid. I know so many people who leave their house, and by the time they get to the masjid, in 5 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, they are able to recite the entire Surah Yasin. Or when they are coming back from the masjid to their house, they recite Surah Yasin. So this is a very, very beneficial thing to do, that we start memorizing Surah Yasin. So let us inshallah go with this firm resolution that we will recite Surah Yasin, and inshallah try to understand the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also endeavor to put the entire chapter to memory. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to practice upon what has been said. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Inshallah, today after Maghrib, Dars e Hadith will take place. Inshallah. Something will be mentioned from the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those people who have benefited, obviously, it is through the barakah of the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you are benefiting, try to convey this message to other people as well, so they can also practice, they come on deen, I become worthy of thawab and you also become worthy of thawab in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as you will practice, you will gain thawab, you should have the same desire for our other Muslim brothers and sisters, that they should also listen and practice. Inshallah, it'll benefit them and also it'll benefit you as well. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وأنت أعلم به منا أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر لا إله إلا أنت اللهم باعد بيننا وبين معاصيك كما باعدت بين المشرق والمغرب اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أبقيتنا اللهم واقية كواقعة الوليد اللهم واقية كواقية الوليد اللهم واقية كواقية الوليد اللهم طهر قلوبنا من النفاق وأعمالنا من الرياء وألسنتنا من الكذب وأعيننا من الخيانة فإنك تعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا ورزقا واسعا وعملا متقبلا وشفاء من كل داء اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشى ومن دعاء لا يستجاب لها اللهم اجعلنا من الذين إذا أحسنوا استبشروا وإذا أساءوا استغفروا اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من عذاب القبر اللهم احفظنا من بين أيدينا ومن خلفنا وعن أيماننا وعن شمائلنا ومن فوقنا ومن تحت أرجلنا اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان وجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم ارزقنا تلاوة القرآن آناء الليل وآناء النهار اللهم اجعلنا ممن يحل حلاله وممن يحرم حرامه يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.